So I want to ask all of you to pick up your study notes. I know that they were emailed this last week, and I believe you can get them off the website as well. Please turn in your Bibles to the living, active Word of God, to Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. This morning, we're going to complete our deep dive into this particular verse 31. As you just give it a cursory reading, you would find that you could probably move on very, very quickly to the next verse and finish chapter 9 very quickly. But this particular verse is really pregnant with things our Lord wants us to see. Whenever we approach the scripture, I want to encourage you, ask these questions: what, where, when, how, and why? And place yourself in the midst of it as you ask these questions. The Word of God, this one precious verse, is very, very important for us to understand. We see here in 1 Corinthians, and I would encourage you to write this down, it's not in your notes, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. When we look at the word, this God-breathed out word that's profitable to you and to me for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that men and women, boys and girls who are born again may be adequately equipped for every good work. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we would be adequately equipped, that we would be spiritually mature to accomplish the things that are important to our Abba Father. But Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened to them as an example. He's talking, you can go back and read the full context, but everything that the Holy Spirit has had these writers place in this holy document that the Holy Spirit has protected over these thousands of years. Now, these things happened to them as an example. What we're looking at here in verse 31, in fact, through the entire book of Acts here, they happened to be an example for us. You've probably picked up on in our study of the book of Acts that the 21st century church doesn't resemble the first century church very much. Oh, we touch points, many points, but we are not that first century church. We have missed out. We have become enculturated in our cultures away from the culture that our Lord Jesus was raising us up to be the ones that speak about the Christian life, what it is to be a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what that looks like. And it's very different from the first century to where we are today. But now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down. They were written down here for you and for me. You know, that first century church, it would be quite a while before they had the letters, before they had the gospels written down. But they adored the Word of God. They loved listening to each and every one of the apostles as they taught. They loved the Word of God, and they would share the Word of God with their friends, their neighbors, their family. They wanted so much for people to know what Jesus, the Son of God, really wanted people to be doing so that they too could enjoy the Christian life. But he says, again. Now these things happen to them as an example, our example, but they were written down for our instruction. So we need to take what we receive here in the Word and apply it in our lives. Some of you are still afraid after 3 weeks of looking at the Word of God, seeing exactly what our Heavenly Father wants you to understand. He doesn't want you to be afraid because you're in His hands. He is sovereignly taking care of everything. Nothing's going to happen to you that He doesn't already know about. He will protect you if protection is necessary. You belong to Him. He is absolutely crazy about you. He sent His Son into the world, and He died for you. And His Father brought Him back to life. And He is alive today with our Heavenly Father. And that was proof that His sacrifice was more than satisfactory to pay for your sins and mine. So we're looking here, we see that supernatural peace is ours. So why is it that so many of our brothers and sisters are so troubled? Because when we read the Word of God, sometimes we just, you know what I mean? We don't listen. And we may hear it, but then we don't embrace it. And we have looked at this passage in John 14 and verse 27 each week. And there Jesus, he looks into our eyes, spiritually speaking, and He says to us, "My peace I leave with you. My irene, my harmony, my tranquility, I leave with you. I give this peace to you." Not as the world gives. No, no. My peace is enough. You should be able to receive the truth of my word, He's saying. I've demonstrated how much I love you. I went to the cross for each and every one of you. I have embraced you as my brothers. My Father has embraced you as His adopted sons and daughters. Those of you who have trusted in me to be your Lord and Savior. And with that, He says, "I give you my peace." And in giving you my peace, there's no reason to be troubled. And there's no reason to have fear. I've got everything under control. Everything is happening, and it's under my control. So supernatural peace is yours. In that moment, when we come to the table and receive communion again, to remember that day, that night, that afternoon that we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit came rushing in, not like we saw Him come rushing into the upper room to the 120 originally, but He comes into our lives, and with His coming, He comes with the fruit of His character. And in that fruit of the character, we have this love and joy and peace. And remember, I wanted you to grab hold of that finger that said, "Peace, it's yours. Now embrace it," so that you don't have to go out when you need to go to the market during this pandemic and be afraid. Amen. You just go. The Lord goes with you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there to protect you. You belong to Him. He will be watching over you every moment of your day and of your night. So in this passage, what is it here that is our instruction? What do we see here in verse 31? What is the example we need to be following? Well, read along with me from your message notes or your Bible as we look at verse 31. He says, so the church, so the men and women, boys and girls who have been born again throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had irene. They had this peace. Remember, most of them have been forced out of Jerusalem and out of other areas because of the diaspora, because of Stephen being adjudicated a heretic and the rest of them being thought of as being blasphemers and being arrested and forced to go to jail and prison, and many of them are being killed. But they have this marvelous Irene peace. The peace that you should have during this time as well. And the church was being built up. It's growing spiritually and numerically. And walking, living in the fear of the Lord, living in the reverence, in the respect, living in the honor of the Lord. Is that the way you're living? I mean, be honest with yourself. The Word of God is here to help us to become the children Abba wants us to be. He's not going to be here. He's not here to pull down your britches and give you a swat. He's not here to do anything but to love on you. And he's given you his word. And he says here, my kids were walking in the fear of the Lord. They respected him, they reverenced him, they honored him, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the comfort of the Holy Spirit is like? I know some of you do. But do all of you understand that comfort of the Holy Spirit? It is such a warm, loving aspect of a Christian's life. And it happens, it can happen multiple times every day. And I hope you're taking advantage of it at least once every day, preferably, I hope, in the morning as you begin your day. But because of this wonderful lifestyle, the church is growing spiritually and numerically. So I'm going to invite you to join me to where we left off last time. I believe it's page 4 of your message notes. On page 4 of your notes, you'll remember that we have this section there that I said, let's read this aloud, okay? Let's do it again. Let's read this particular thing that I've written here for you aloud. When the Spirit of God has his way in the hearts and lives of believers, then unsaved people are going to be reached and won for the Lord Jesus. That is, in a nutshell, what we are seeing here. But what we're not seeing, in large part, in the church across America, is that these people are comfortable living in the Spirit of God. Do you get up in the morning? Let me just ask questions, okay? You know the truth. When you get up in the morning, you say, good morning, Lord. Yes. And when you say, good morning, Lord, do you tell him, you know, I don't know what you've got out there for me today, but I'm asking you to be my leader. I'm asking you to be the guide. I want you to be the one that helps me to walk through this. And I want people to be able to notice in me today, Father. I want them to see the character that you give to your kids. I want them to see the supernatural love. I want them to see the supernatural joy. And, you know, a lot of my friends, my neighbors, some of my kids, some of whoever it might be, they're really worried about this COVID-19 thing. 19. Excuse me. Every time someone coughs, they say, uh-oh, here it is. But at any rate, God's kids are markedly different from the world's kids, Satan's kids. And when people come in contact with these truly warm, loving, kind people, there's a blessing that's extended to them by you. And it also may be reinforced by God the Holy Spirit himself. It's getting up in the morning and it's asking him to be alive, to be strong, to be powerful, in you and through you for whatever else is going to be a part of your day. In all the areas of Palestine, the church showed substantial gains, as we see here in this verse. Their gains are in the membership. When the fear of persecution subsided, then countless numbers of people began to investigate more about the claims of Christ upon their lives, and more of them were coming to faith in Him. Look at your notes. Luke mentions two reasons for the increase in the spiritual growth as well as the numeric growth of the church. First, the Christians were living in, as we saw earlier, the fear, the phobos of the Lord, in the respect and honor of the Lord. That is, they revered and honored our Lord Jesus as their Savior and Master in their daily conduct. Would you say with me, in their daily conduct? Let's say it together. In their daily conduct. In their daily conduct, they revered, they respected, and honored the Lord throughout the day. Simple question, is that what you do? Is that what you're about? Because if you are, then you know how the warmth and love of the Lord goes forth and how you have a wonderful impact in the lives of people. Second, the second reason for the spiritual growth and increase, they experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were, as I have been hopefully wanting to teach, wanting to lay that deep desire for DPE, to have that direct and personal experience with the Lord. Many of your brothers and sisters, they don't know what that's about, because they don't get up in the morning, good morning, Lord. They get up in the morning and say, good morning, it's Lord, or good, you know, good Lord, it's morning, or something to that effect. It's important. It's important that you understand, remember gnosko, that direct personal experience with the Lord Jesus. And that opens up beautiful, wonderful spiritual vistas in your life. Things that you may have never touched before. As you sit with Him, you sense His presence. You don't feel like you're just talking to air and wherever it is that you are. You sense His presence with you. You open the Word of God, and when He says to you, like we read earlier, my peace I leave with you. Wow, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I was getting a little worried. I watched the news last night, and they were talking about so many more people died and so forth and so on. And on it goes, bad news, bad news, bad news. But here you are. Thank you. My peace I leave with you. You would never lie to me. You've told me you'll never forsake me. You'll always be with me. And God the Holy Spirit is right there right now. He's that paraclete that comes alongside to help, to strengthen me, to move forward. You see, it becomes, as it should be, real. Real. So second, they experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In brief, these early believers demonstrated to the people living around them the joy of living the Christian life. It wasn't, oh yeah, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Christianity isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord, and He demonstrates, He shows us by example, through instruction, that these things can hurt you. I encourage you not to do that. But you know, you still have this thing called free will. And you can choose to obey me and demonstrate your love for me, or you can disobey and you can hurt yourself. I'm not going to leave you. But I told you how you could live in a way that is successful and significant. Just follow what I tell you. Through their spirit-filled lives, that's your fill-in, they attracted countless people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. A countless number of people were coming to faith. What does history reveal to us? That was going on in Palestine after Saul went home to Tarsus? Well, I'd like to show you some things that were taking place. As you know, we approach the scripture historically and grammatically. It's important, again, for you and I to understand what our brother and sister in the first century, when they were coming into contact, when all of this was taking place, when the Holy Spirit was bearing along these writers to give us this wonderful book, it's important for us to understand how they took what was being said. Because what we tend to do in the 21st century is we're going to apply the way we think now, our culture and so forth, on theirs. And that's not the way to approach the Word of God. The Word of God meant something to the people in the first century. And we need to understand it from that aspect and then see how it applies to us in the 21st century. So Saul, he's departed for Tarsus. We saw that several weeks ago. The Jewish community wanted to kill him. So the Christian community sent him home to Tarsus. And he's going to be gone for the better part of maybe 8 years before we're going to see him again. We're going to see him in the pages of the scripture much sooner, but that's about the time that he was gone, about 8 years. But there's a lot of political change that is taking place right now in Palestine. And this political change that's taking place is going to impact the church. Whereas the church was in the midst of the diaspora and in the midst of this time when the Sanhedrin was tracking people down and wanting to kill the church, which means kill the individual people who make up the church, things had changed. They got a little bit of the power they had taken away from them. Look here at history. I'm going to also be showing you some photographs of depictions of what certain individuals may or may not have actually looked like. But some of them, we actually have busts of these people that were created. If we assume that Luke's summary here in Acts 9:31 reflects the year AD 36-37, then we know that the Jewish historian Josephus, through him, that these years were marked by change. Now, would you show that first picture, please? I'd like to introduce you to Flavius Josephus. He is a Jewish non-Christian historian. And I encourage you to read some of his histories. As we know, history being written down by men may not always be exactly the way it happened. So he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. This is not part of the Bible, but it is a history by a historian of this period. So this is Flavius Josephus. And he tells us about these changes. To illustrate, in AD 36, the Roman governor, then Vitellius, succeeded the one that we knew, Pontius Pilate. And if you would show that next picture, Chris. This is a coin of the realm, and that's, so we're told, Vitellius sitting on his chair and giving judgments and so forth. And then the next picture, please. This is a bust of of Pontius Pilate. This is what the man who had our Lord crucified looks like. So Vitellius succeeded Pontius Pilate. As soon as he assumed office, that is Vitellius, he deposed Caiaphas. You'll remember Caiaphas, the high priest who gave the high priesthood to Jonathan 1 year later. Jonathan was replaced by his brother Theophilus. Would you show that next picture, please? So we're told that these are busts of Jonathan and Theophilus. Interesting looking individuals. And 1 year later, Jonathan was replaced by his brother Theophilus. Vitellius, the governor, in contrast to Pilate, promoted order and stability. Furthermore, in AD 37, Emperor Tiberius died and was succeeded by Caligula. Would you show that next picture, please? Here's a picture of a man that would, in the years going forward, pursue Christians and put them in the Colosseum, the arenas, and have them killed in various ways. But that's Caligula. In that year, Caligula gave his friend Herod Agrippa the First, and if you'd show that next picture, these are depictions of Herod. The very top one doesn't seem to remind me at all of the one on the left, but maybe that particular coin on the left is showing two sides. That's what I'm guessing. And on your right, then, that would be a picture of Herod the Great, or Herod Agrippa the First. And he was given the authority to rule as a king, as the king of Palestine. Herod Agrippa I was the grandson of Herod the Great, who ruled from AD 37 to 44. He was stricken by an angel of the Lord, and he died a very painful death, as we'll see in Acts 12 when we get there. These changes caused the Jews who were bent on persecuting the Christians to desist and listen to their new rulers. Accordingly, the church enjoyed a period of peace and tranquility, and it was strengthened in the faith. Not only did the church increase in spiritual strength, but also it increased in numbers, and I gave you a footnote. So Luke, the historian that he was, he next records for us, when we go forward in a few weeks from now, the expansion beyond Palestine to the farthest parts of the earth. You'll remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a passage that I hope that you've memorized by this time in our study of this wonderful book, where he told them that, but you will receive power. You receive this power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. So the door of faith has been opened to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, and to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. And soon they're going to be open to us, the Goyim, the Gentiles, in Acts 10. The Ethiopian eunuch, you'll recall, who was baptized in Judea, took the gospel to Africa, so many other theologians think. And it may be true, I don't know for certain. But he became a Christian, we know this for certain, in Judea. Now, we will begin to read of people who are becoming Christians in places very, very, very far away from Jerusalem. Saul has moved off the scene. Peter is going to come back on the scene, but he's going to move back off the scene, and we won't see him again until Acts chapter 15. But Saul's going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to basically fill up the rest of the pages of the book of Acts. So as you look at your notes, Father God changes his workmen. He changes those people that he's using. He takes those people who are available to him, and he does wondrous, wondrous, wondrous things through them. I mean, I don't know if you know it or not, but I am the 11th or 12th pastor of Granada Hills Community Church. Even though I've been here for 36 years now, 37 years come June, I'm the 12th of the 13th pastor. In the very early years of the church, they just kind of chewed up pastors one after the other, and I'm gristle, so they couldn't chew me up and get rid of me. So I'm still here. Sorry. But he changes his workmen. But his work goes on. You know, as we're noticing, we had to go through this change, live streaming. I don't like it, but I like it. I don't like it because, well, I can't even hug the people that are here. I can't shake their hands. I can't even do the elbow thing anymore. I mean, before you know it, I'm going to have to get a phone to call you, and that'd be the only way I'll get to talk to you if they don't straighten this thing out soon. But what I do like about it, it gives us an opportunity to reach people like some of you who I have this opportunity to speak to right now. You're in Florida. You're in Tennessee. You're in North Dakota. I don't know if you came back from Cambodia or not, or you're in Spain. You're in various places. Otherwise, not that I'm anybody in particular, but the Lord has allowed me to be a vessel through which he is speaking to you truth this morning, a vessel through which I can say to you, he loves you very, very much, so very much. So Father God changes his workmen, but his work goes on. And you and I, you and I are privileged to be a part of that work today, today. So what did he teach us today? What did he say? Some of you are maybe just finishing your breakfast and you weren't paying any attention. But listen, he wants you and I, if we're not already doing it, to be very aware of reverencing, respecting, and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ throughout each and every day. Ask yourself, am I doing it? If you are, then give yourself a little pat on the back and ask him through the Holy Spirit, I want to keep it up. I want to continue in this. And also the second thing is, you want to grow in the DPE, the direct personal experience. You see, the coronavirus can't affect your reaching out and spiritually wanting to give a hug to the Lord Jesus, to wanting to sit down with him. You don't have to sit 6 feet apart. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. There's nothing that Mayor Garcetti can do about it. You don't have to wear a mask. In fact, take off those phony masks. Take them off. Just be you. He knows all about you, and he still loves you. Okay? So develop this Holy Spirit-filled life. And you too will be a tool that our Lord uses to attract other people to his gospel. And you may be the one that he will use to lead this person in a prayer where they surrender their life in full to Jesus. And they become part of the GHCC family. Maybe from another state, but nonetheless, we are to live lives that are beautiful before the Lord, and He will help us. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you so much for this pregnant little verse. And as I think of pregnancies, Father, I think of Cecilia and Eric. Our prayers are with them and the soon coming twins. But in pregnancy, just as Eric and Cecilia are going to have the blessing of these two little ones, this little boy and this little girl, you have given us, Father, by instruction and example, this wonderful, life-changing word found in the living Word of God that can impact and change our lives wonderfully so that we can become children of God that manifests that wonderful humility of the Lord Jesus, the meekness of the Lord Jesus, our willingness to forgive others who have injured us because you have forgiven us all of our sins and we caused you injury. So, Father, help us to focus right now. Who are we in Christ Jesus? Help us to focus on, have we confessed and repented this morning of our sins? Are we ready, Father? Are we ready to receive the bread and the cup, to eat and to drink afresh and anew, to remember Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross and how that has brought us to this great salvation? Father, may your Spirit, may your Holy Spirit now be speaking to every one of us who are listening to this live stream time of worship in the Word of God. May we do what you're asking us to do now. May none of us simply have sat and listened and heard and not be doers. May we take what we have heard this morning, meditate on it, and become doers for your glory out of respect and honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.